Perfect.
All right. Welcome to Skirty Guy Radio, Black Hat 2016.
Thank you.
What's your name on the left first?
My name is Leonard Koopman.
And what's your name, sir?
And I'm Sam Parikh.
And you guys are with Greylog?
That is right.
Is it greylog.com?
It is, or greylog.org.
Okay. And what do you guys do?
So we make log management software. We've been around for the last 5 years. And the company originally started in Germany. And basically what log management software does is it takes machine data from thousands of different sources.
Right.
Real time, it comes into an engine. And then we allow you to analyze it, display graphs, do all sorts of neat stuff.
Now, it's interesting it came out of Germany, because what I know about Germany privacy laws is you're not supposed to save things more than 30 days and all these kind of things. Was that a challenge to start your company over there?
Yes, it was. But it turned out to be very good, actually, simply because now we have features in the product that were developed very early on in the product, simply because we were in Germany and these companies had that requirement. You can't store an IP address. You can't store an IP address for longer than 14 days, for example.
14 days?
Yeah. Wow. It depends on the company, and only people working for the company that signed a special part of a contract are allowed to see that data later. So we had to, from the beginning on, we had to add very, very good access control layers.
Right. So your product is being used over there, and it's seamless over here as well, because we have more looser privacy laws.
Well, I'm not sure it's looser. It's a little tighter, but all right. So logs, to me, are an interesting thing. I used to do investigations at Fox, and I was one of the first people that did forensic investigations. Before EnCase came out, we were using Microsoft's editing tool to look at the sectors and figure out who was writing things. And
yeah.
And we would do forensics on one search at a time. And then I hired a programmer, and he wrote some open source code that contributed to EnCase. And what I found was I did these investigations. I go to the IT guy and say, let me see your log. Oh, we don't have it turned on. What do you mean you don't have it turned on? Well, it takes up too much space. Well, buy another freaking hard drive. What are you talking about? It takes up too much space. Drove me insane all the time, right? And then I think we finally caught on that we have to keep that data there. Logs seem like the basics, the fundamentals. Are you finding that companies still don't keep these things turned on or maintain them or pay attention to them, or is this standard practice now?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think there's a bit of standard practice in the any time for an audit requirement or you're a company that's got a PCI requirement,
right.
You're keeping logs on all the time.
Okay.
Now, as you start to move sort of mid, if you're medium company size, sometimes things aren't on, sometimes they are.
Yeah.
Sometimes the logs aren't in the right format. You can't analyze them. But I think people are finding more and more that the real data, security data, business data, are in the logs. They're in the machine data.
And so speaking of that, traditionally Greylog hasn't been considered a security tool, but what with your analysis of your client profiles, are you finding that to be different now?
Yeah, we're finding the number two use case for log management and for Greylog is around security use cases.
Oh,
so people are finding a lot of data inside their logs.
Yeah, from a police perspective, when I do investigations, I would put things together chronologically, right? So I get the logs and say, the guy walked to the front door, he scanned his ID, he was on camera, he walked down the hallway, he scanned his ID again, got inside a room, turned on the phone, all in log files.
Yeah.
And when I put it chronologically, the guy says, I wasn't here. I go, really? Well, dude, I got you right here, okay?
Right.
So, yeah, log files, I think, originally were just kind of thought of as what? Just some extra data, interesting, you might need it for something, I don't know. But now, it really is, it's the, what's that thing, Microsoft Journal, right?
Right.
Records everything on your computer that you do. Very valuable data.
Yeah. So what I'd like to talk about is what something's different, I think, and unique about your product is it's open source. A lot of the options on the market right now are not, and those seem to be dominating the market. How has it being open source have been an advantage for you guys?
Yeah, sure.
I think in many ways. So first of all, open source usually also means, in almost all of the cases, that the software is also free. That means you can just download it, you can play around
right.
with it, which means it's extremely easy to get into companies because just some team on itself will start using it without yep. even a VP level manager getting involved into this. They'll just, it makes.
It takes away that red tape, that
yes.
procurement aspect even.
Yes.
Well, it takes the money decision out yep. of it, but doesn't it create a potential risk? Not with your product, of course, but all this open source, open free code, if I'm not checking it, it could be malicious, right?
Mm-hmm. I think there's a reason why teams do that or why people just start using open source code out there. And I think that's simply because these decision-making processes tend to take so long that people just want to try something out.
Yeah, makes
and then
sense.
Maybe they stop using it, right? With Greylock, when they keep on using it, what we see is that it gets more and more popular, and then suddenly the higher level managers start contacting us and say, hey, I just figured out we use this all over the place already. Can we get professional support
awesome.
From you?
Oh, I get it. So your money comes in when they want your support on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's a good model. How interesting. Yeah.
But, I mean, we're big believers in open source.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
5 years ago when it started, we wanted to analyze log data at a company. Price tag came in, couldn't do it.
Nope.
Right.
Leonard says, I'll write it over a weekend. Famous last word. So we're here 5 years later, 12,000 installations of Greylock around
wow.
the world.
Wow. Around the world.
That is larger than any enterprise type of software that we know in this field. Yeah. And so we're big believers in the community. They've helped us. We're keeping an open source platform out there.
And that allows for the sharing back and forth.
That allows for the sharing back and forth. We recently had somebody contact us, and they wrote a message signing piece.
Yeah. Spent the whole summer vacation, writing a part of our software and contributed it back to the core.
Wow.
So that is something that comes from, or that is very beneficial for us from the open source aspect. It's definitely that if you imagine there are so many devices out there with different formats that need different dashboards, different ways of looking at the data. By being an open source project, we now have 12,000, 15,000 people out there, at least it's companies, right? That means there's probably 20 people there using it. So
right.
there's probably 100,000 people using Greylock. They will start contributing back their specific firewall configuration to send the data into Greylock, for example. And that's something that we don't need to do. We don't even have the devices, right? So the community is doing that for us.
So speaking of all the devices, a hot topic here at Black Hat has been the management and security around the Internet of Things, embedded devices. Does Greylock support the APIs or the ability to consume logs from the Internet of Things type technology?
Yeah, I think a challenge for the IoT type of things when it comes to logging is that they usually sit behind very unreliable connections, right? It might be the home network, the home Wi-Fi of just someone. That Wi-Fi might just be down. It's not an enterprise level SLA covered Wi-Fi, right?
Right.
Or even worse, it might be something sitting somewhere out there using the cellular network.
Yep.
To send data, which is slow, which is not working, has a long delay. And so Greylock supports formats and transports to get that data into Greylock. MQTT,
wow.
for example, is a very old protocol that has always been used to send industrial sensor data into a central point. And that is what we're supporting, for example.
Yeah, I definitely see the value, especially in the critical infrastructure with all the sensors out there, along whether it's pipelines, rigs, plant facilities, being able to integrate that data and have it because all these smart technologies, smart sensors are now being flooded into the industry and being able to capture that data in a meaningful way to help prevent attacks through the correlation analysis, I think is awesome.
Exactly.
I got this crazy theory that I float once in a while. In terrorism, about 85% of what they learn about us is from open source. They just Google my map of Fox Studios. They don't have to go steal it. Right? And everybody thinks they're sneaking around doing spy networks, and they're just not, right? Information's power. Information's money. And back in the old days when you were, Union Oil and you knew how to do oil drilling, you owned all the oil, that's information, right? And now they say that by 2025, they think that all knowledge that's possible to know in our human existence will be on the Internet. So that's going to level the field, right? So some guy in a mud hut somewhere can say, hey, I'm going to invent something because I got all the knowledge to do it. So I say, what if, to the way you guys model, what if most of these things weren't all secret and proprietary and owned by somebody and controlled, and what if everything was open source code for everything? What would that do to change the landscape of things?
Oh, good
would
question.
It improve our security? I think it would, because what you have are 100,000 monkeys typing on a typewriter that eventually will write War and Peace just by default. It would happen mathematically if they kept doing it, right? And you have brilliance at all the levels of your users that are contributing to something as a collective that would not be contributed by one individual or even a small group, right? So what do you think about that idea? In other words, if my Social Security number, if we all knew our Social Security numbers, a Social Security number would have no value. None. I could still use it to do things, but, if you try to use it, I'm going to catch you.
Yeah.
It's just different. I don't know how to describe it to you. It's probably a crazy idea, but what do you think? Could we go to more open source coding, and would that improve our safety?
I think if you look at these statistics that open source software tends to be more secure than closed source software. Maybe that is an example. I don't know if you can apply it to everything.
Oh, that's it. See, I didn't know that.
It is because with open source communities, you get a variety of different skill sets looking at the code, contributing to it, finding the flaws and weaknesses, reporting it, and there's really not a lot of...
There's no time to market pressure.
And there's no time to market pressure other than your own that you set for the product.
Interesting. I
don't know if it's going to work for all information, like social security numbers, for example.
Well, that's extreme.
But if you look at, I think there's a lot of value in sharing the information. Because sooner or later, it's going to get public anyways. It slows down development if it's held by a corporation for too long, I think.
That's what a lot of exploits, Black Hat, DevCon, everybody's trying to make these things public because they find if it's in the open, it'll get fixed.
Well, that's a good point. Right? See, that's why I'm on the fence with Snowden, right? I mean, I know he's a criminal because I'm a cop and I get what the code means, and I know somebody else in our political system's a criminal who's running for an office. I get that part too. But that's not always what happens in the end. It becomes a matter of politics and functions and all kinds of things. So I think that the drivers are in innovation are people free to just do it, right? And when you restrict it and you tell the coder, I need you to sit down, I need you to code this. Well, I'm going to code this over here. I don't want you to do that. There's no motivation for innovation. You know, you got to be free to do it. So I think Security Guard Radio is kind of a free open source code right now. We're not making any money at it, but we're giving away information. Yeah, we're giving away information to people and saying, hey, you guys need to learn all these things in security because if you don't pay attention, you're going to get nailed on it. This is interesting. Very interesting. A couple of young guys doing stuff. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. Thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio. If you guys want to come in and talk about this stuff, you know, on a 60-minute show or you got a new initiative or you want to get the word out on something, just let us know.
Oh, do you have any new initiatives on the horizon or just released?
We just released our 2.0 release that came out a few weeks ago. That is really, we had the 1.0 that was a big step forward in stability. The 2.0 brought a lot of new features.
Who hears about a 2.0 anything? Everything's on 14 and 15 now. It's new, it's fabulous, it's very exciting. You guys, thanks for coming on Security Guy Radio. Appreciate it.
Thank
Great conversation.
Thanks,
thanks a lot.
Chuck.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leonard.
Thank you.
See, that was fun.
That was fun.